How many of you have been asked this question before? So, what do you want to be when you grow up? Yeah. Okay, so, like, do you get that still? Are people still asking you, what do you want to be when you grow up? I remember being younger and getting that question more, like when you're a little kid, like my, like Barrett's age, because it's cute, like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you said when you were little was what, yeah, everybody wanted to be a firefighter, even the girls, right? There's nothing wrong with that, but everybody wanted to be a firefighter. What are some of the other things? Policeman, everybody wanted to do construction worker. Anybody want to be a garbage man or a garbage woman? That was kind of the joke with my dad, or with my cousin, was he wanted to be a garbage man when he grew up. So, like, you know, when it was little, it was kind of like fun and whatever, and you saw everybody and whoever you admired, or usually it was whoever had a cool uniform. That's why we always wanted to be firefighters. Guys want to be firefighters, or girls too. But now when they ask you that question, it's not as fun, right? Because now you're like, I don't know, right? So when somebody asks you that, what are some of your responses? Maybe some of you know, that's great. Yeah? Photographer. Okay, maybe a photographer. What else?
Are you training to be a pilot?
A training to be a pilot, cool, all right.
An engineer.
Okay, engineer or a football player. Some of us are still with the sports, and that's cool, right? So, you know, when you're a little kid, that question doesn't really make you nervous. But now that you're a little bit older and you understand kind of the magnitude of that question, that's a big question, right? And you may be thinking, I don't even know what I want for lunch, and you're asking me to make a decision that's going to impact the rest of my life. Like that's a little intimidating. That's a little scary here. And what goes beyond that when they say, "What do you want to be grow up?" Then they start asking you other questions like, "What do you want to major when you're in college?" And some of you are like, college? I don't even know if I want to go to college, right? And some of you may have ideas, but did you know, don't feel bad about this, by the way, but did you know that most people, when they go to college, whatever they major in, within like a year or even less, they switch to another major? And some of them switch multiple times over the course of their 4 years. Now, don't do that like 15 times, but like that can be, that's normal. Why? Because when you're younger, you don't necessarily know what I want to be when I grow up. And then we start throwing in these other questions along the way, and I doubt many of you are thinking about this yet, but who am I supposed to marry? And then what kind of job am I supposed to have? And then they start asking you more and more questions, and like your heart starts beating faster and faster. Like, I'm having chest pains and I'm only 15. Why should I be? I'm not having a heart attack, am I? Right? And what you end up with is you end up, it can kind of make you end up feeling like our buddy here on the screen. You're a little stressed. And you're not staring, but he's looking at the questions on the screen. They're probably making him fill out, what do you want to be when you grow up? And he's now looking at that and thinking, oh no. Or what job do I need to take now? What job do I need to take now? So for us as Christians, that question's a little bit bigger though, right? Because you think about the overarching question really is the one that I have for you that's made in a statement on the screen is, what is God's will for your life? You've heard that asked before, and you know, I'm sure your parents have talked to you a lot about that. But that kind of begs then the next logical question is, so how can I know, as a Christian, how can I know what God's will is for my life? There's this wrong idea, and I don't know how recently you've done this. Maybe you're a hide-and-seek person. If you've got little brothers or sisters, they still want to play hide-and-seek with you or whatever. But there's this wrong idea that finding what God's will is for our life is like playing a game of hide-and-seek. Some of you, maybe you were good hiders or you were good seekers or finders or whatever you call them. Others of you, you were the youngest and had an older sibling that like really hid well from you, or you were the older sibling that hid really well from them, and the game went on and on until the point where you got bored, so you just went and played video games and like they were still looking for you, right? Remember though how frustrating that was trying to find them if you were the one that was trying to be the person that was seeking after them. Eventually, what did you do? One of two things, probably. Eventually, you either,
Start calling them or start quitting.
Right. You either quit, or you start calling for them, or you went to mom and dad and were like, they're being mean to me. I can't find them. Right? Okay. But typically, like, either way, it was just frustrating. And the unfortunate part is that I think sometimes we treat God like he's the older brother or sister that hides from us, and we can't find him, and now we're frustrated. But God doesn't intend for you to be frustrated. As a matter of fact, what we'll see here is that God has some very specific things in his word that he actually tells you, this is what I want you to do. And those things, probably some of you have already found those things. But then those questions that we talk about, like, who am I supposed to marry? What college am I supposed to go to? What am I supposed to marry? Or what am I supposed to major in? We'll get to that question as well, because I do think that those things can be found and they shouldn't be a point of frustration for you. So if God, in fact, does want us to know what His will is for our lives, where do you think that can be found, boys and girls? This is a Sunday school answer. Right, everybody holds up their Bible. In God's Word. Very good, very good. You're not boys and girls anymore, but anyways. So, the first thing God wants for our lives. Everybody turn to 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4. This should also go a lot faster than when we did this 4 or 5 years ago, because you guys are faster at finding these passages and you can read better now. And so let's go. Somebody want to volunteer to read this? All right, go for it. 1 Timothy 2, 3 through 4.
For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God and Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Okay, what's the first thing that God wants for our lives? What's the first thing God wants for our lives from that passage? Yeah, okay. Right. He wants people to be saved. He wants people to be saved. Now, there's two implications with this. The first one is the obvious one. He wants you to be saved, right? He wants you, because if he wants all people to be saved, then I'm part of all people. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to know that, or understand that, like, you're a sinner, that you are in need of a Savior, and that He wants you to accept that gift of salvation, turning from your sin and coming into a relationship with Him, right? I'm hoping that you're understanding this. This is beyond, like, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner, please save me, the end. All right, thank goodness I don't go to hell anymore. Like, God wants the point of that is He wants a relationship with you. And there's a lot more implications to that, but not only does He want that for you, who else does He want that for?
Everybody.
Right, everybody. Right? Turn to your right. Turn to your left. If you're on the end, nobody's there. But, okay. In your house, your brothers, your sisters, your mom, your dad, whatever. He wants all people. That's other people. So let me ask you this next thing. How are you doing in sharing the gospel with other people? Oh, well, I'm only fill in the blank age. Nobody's going to listen to me. I don't have many unsaved friends. I don't, whatever. Are you taking the opportunities that God gives you with your friends, with people that you meet, with your siblings? I could ask some of you, do you have siblings in your household that are unsaved? And several of you would say, yeah, there are my little brother, little sister, they're not saved. Well, how are you doing in communicating the gospel to them? It's not always like, you're a sinner, Matthew. You need to be saved. I think Matthew saved, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. But say, you're a sinner, Matthew. You need to be saved. It's also, how are you doing in demonstrating God's love to them, being kind to them, being considerate to them, et cetera, right? And so my question to you is, how are you doing in sharing the gospel with other people? Even for me, how am I doing on a daily basis? I have three sinners, unsaved sinners in my household right now. How am I doing in displaying God's love to them? So, number one, above all else, God wants you to know God, and He wants your neighbor, your friends, your family to know God as well. He wants people to be saved. Second one there, the second thing God wants for our lives, He wants us to be filled with the Spirit. Turn to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5, 17 through 18 is where we're going to look next. Ephesians 5, 17 through 18. Someone want to read this? One of the girls want to read this? Okay, Kate, go for it.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord.
Okay, what do you think that it means to be filled with the Spirit? What exactly do you think it means to be filled with the Spirit? Okay, before you answer that, who is filled with the Spirit? Who has the Spirit inside of them? All of you should raise your hands if you're saved. Right? Every Christian has the Spirit inside of them, right? So, but then what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? Yeah.
Having fruits of the Spirit, like love, joy, kindness.
Okay. All right, very good. Like, those are the fruit, as you've been taught before. Like, the tree grows fruit and shows what kind of tree it is, right? And so we as Christians should be showing that kind of fruit to other people. Let me put it this way, as far as like being filled with the Spirit. If those who are saved are filled with the Spirit, though have the Spirit inside of them, those who are filled with the Spirit are doing what was just mentioned there, are displaying those fruits. Well, how am I going to display those fruits that we are so familiar with? Of the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Are you displaying those things? Well, think about it this way, and I'll ask this one. Why do we have so many Christians? You know a lot of Christians. Are the Christians that you know all displaying those fruits? Do they display those fruits regularly? Do they display those fruits well? You're like, well, sometimes. Let me ask this. You don't have to answer it out loud. How do you do in displaying those fruits? Are you filled with the Spirit is another way that I can put that. Let me put it this way. As I read through these verses, I want you to look for a common thing, because then the next question is, well, wait a second here. If the Spirit is inside of me, but I know Christians who don't display those fruits quite regularly, why is that? As I read these verses, I want you to look for a common theme, because then I'm going to ask you, what is the common theme that you see in these verses? So first one here, look up at the screen, James 4:6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Second one there, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. These are all from James. Next one, this is from Psalms. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with victory. And then 2 Corinthians 12:9. But he saith to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the Christ's power may rest upon me. What is the common theme that you see in all of these verses?
Yeah. You need to be humble.
Right. Humility, right? Philip?
Grace.
Yeah. Grace is given to those who are humble. So my next question is, are you living a humble life? Well, what does that mean exactly? Like, I know, like, humble is the opposite of proud. So in other words, let me put it this way. A Christian not yielded to the Spirit has no shot of living a Spirit-filled life, and humility is a direct result, or is the way that we characterize somebody who is yielded to the Spirit of God. So let me put it this way, and this may kind of step on some of your toes figuratively. If life is all about you, the fun you want to have, the dreams you want to fulfill, the life you want to live, who is life about? You or God?
You.
You, right? Is that living a humble life? Now, is it wrong to want to have fun? Is it want to have goals and aspirations? Is it wrong to want to have a job or a career that you enjoy? No. Like, don't get the wrong idea. Like, being a Christian, like, this is terrible. I'm going to have to go do this awful job in this awful state to awful people that I don't like. Like, that's not how it works. But if you're not yielded to God, you're not living a humble life. And if you're not living a humble life, it says in Proverbs, God resists the proud. Like, he's against those kind of people that are proud. And if God is against you, do you think that you can live a Spirit-filled life? No, it's impossible. So when we say somebody who is not submitted is not living a humble life, is living a proud life, then the obvious result is a life that is not going, like, you have no shot of living a Spirit-filled life. You have no shot of strongly demonstrating those things, those fruits of the Spirit that we'll just mentioned here. So if you want to start down that path of living a Spirit-filled life, let me give you a super practical suggestion here. And this may sound kind of silly, but I've seen it work in my life. When you wake up in the morning, you can say something like this to God. God, I've got plans for today, because plans aren't wrong. Okay? But God, I've got plans for today. For some of you, you have to go to school. You need to go to work. You're going to hang out with friends that day. Whatever it is. Okay? I've got plans for today, but Lord, I'm willing to submit what those plans that I have to you. and you direct my steps, and I will follow. So if that means somebody, you have plans. I have this happen all the time. I've got plans. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to get stuff done. And you know what happens? 3, 4, 5 people want to have meetings with me. You know how I feel about meetings? I hate meetings. Okay? It's like, just shoot me an email or a text and I'll take care of it. But no, they want to have a meeting with me. Okay? Like, I could say, no, I've got my plans. I'm not going to do this. But what if that person comes in and like they're struggling with something or has something to share with me and I can be a help to them? And God can use me to be a help to them. Now I'm living a spirit-filled life here. My point is that you could sometimes, most of the time, all the time, you are going to be missing out when you are going down the path of, I want this, but God wants this, but no, I think my way is better. I got stuff planned. I got stuff worked out. It's going to be better for me this way. It's not. It's not better. That's the trick from the devil. So God wants us to live spirit-filled life. The spirit-filled life is nothing more than living in the conscience presence of the indwelling spirit. As we go through today, you forget sometimes that the spirit's dwelling inside of you. I think that if we just were like aware, like the spirit's inside of me, I can do this. You could deal with your annoying brother or sister a little bit longer, right? But sometimes we're just like, I've had it. That's enough. I'm going to punch you in the face, right? We have forgotten that we're not conscious of the fact that the Spirit is inside of us and can give us the power to not punch our brother or sister in the face. Not that you would ever do that. Okay? You think of it, but you don't do it, hopefully. Philip might, but hopefully nobody else does. Okay? So, do you live a Spirit-filled life? Don't answer that out loud, but let me ask you, do you live a Spirit-filled life? God wants you to live a Spirit-filled life, not just for His sake, but for your sake. He has your best in mind there. Okay? So that's the second one there. The third thing God wants for your life, turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. Somebody want to read this? Okay, go ahead, Philip.
For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication.
Okay, this should be a familiar verse actually to the guys because we talked about this back when I spoke here like a month and a half ago or something like that. But the first part of that verse, okay, the first part of that verse is where we want to zero in. What's the third thing that God wants for your life? He wants you. Okay, the will of God. The will of God is what? Keep going. Sanctified, right? He wants us sanctified. What do you think that means? He wants us sanctified. Oh, come on. Somebody's got to have this. Talk about sanctification, right? You ever? Okay, pure, right? Very practically, he wants us on a day-to-day basis, every day, looking more and more like Christ, more and more like him, right? Okay, so God wants us sanctified. We're entering the spring season right now, and this is the time of year when the trees are blooming. Does anybody have allergies? I do. It's the worst. And I mix it with a cold and it's even worse. But the grass starts growing. My grass is kind of starting to get greener. The flowers start blooming. Do I have any gardeners in here? Any gardeners? Okay. Kind of ish gardener. Okay. So sort of a green scum thumb there. I tried when I'm not a gardener at all. My wife is. She grows some cool things behind our house. But when I bought our house a couple of years ago, I wanted to have a nice yard. And the kind of grass that you have is that Bermuda grass. I don't know if you know anything about grass, but like in the winter it goes dormant and turns brown, and then in the summertime it starts to green up and whatever. But like it gets green on its own just because of God making it green because it's raining and getting warmer and that kind of stuff. However, I can't just leave it. I can't just like let it do its thing in the wintertime and then the it gets summer and then the water comes out and it waters it and it makes it green and it looks perfect. You're like, yeah, no, you have to mow it. No, I'm talking about like, okay, because if you walk in my yard right now, you won't see a lot of these, but my neighbors, it's because I'm OCD and I go around and pick them all the time. But there, because of the weather that we had over the last 12 months, there's a lot of weeds. Maybe some of you are experiencing this in your yards. Some of you, you're like, yes, my dad made me go outside and pick the weeds. And so like you're having to go out and pick the weeds and that kind of stuff. But you can go a long ways in helping with that if you put down a fertilizer and weed killer and right. So my point is this, I have to actually do some stuff to make it look green when it comes time for the summer. I actually have a sheet that I have, and there's an app on my phone too that I follow, and it tells me what to put down, and it's the 1st of April, and I actually have to do this week. But like I have to put down this stuff at the beginning of April, I have to put down this stuff, I had to put stuff down at the beginning of March or whatever. And the point is this, why do I have to do all this stuff? Why do I have to do all that? Why do I have to follow that sheet? Why do I have to do that work? Because I want. Okay, I want a nice yard. Okay, I want it to look green. I want it to look nice. I want it to grow. Because I want all of that stuff, and I want it to grow well, and I want it to grow tall, and I want it to grow full, I have to do a couple things. And what are those things? Well, we just talked about it. I have to add fertilizer. I have to cut it. If you're going to, here's the point. Don't get lost in the illustration that went on for a long time. If you're going to grow to become more like Christ, what do you need to do? No, not apply fertilizer. Okay, yes? I need to read the Bible. What else do you need to do? I'm throwing you some softballs today. You can go back to like Sunday school answers all your life. Yes? Follow Jesus. Very good. What else do you have to do? Okay, obey your parents. Pray, right? Have that relationship with God that he tells us to do. Memorize God's word. Listen to it as it's preached. You guys are doing a great job listening right now. Listening to your Sunday school teachers, right? I'm hearing God's word. I'm reading about God's word. I have a relationship. I'm praying. I'm talking to him. There's that back and forth, right? That's how a relationship works. Some of you, you're approaching. You want to have a boyfriend or girlfriend? Let me tell you how it works, okay? You need to talk to each other. It's not just cool to like hang out. Let's hang out. Oh, I touched his hand. Like, oh, that's stupid. Okay? That's not a real relationship. Okay? You want a real relationship? You communicate. It goes back and forth. By the way, let me just give you a tip, especially girls. Okay? You start talking to the dude and he doesn't talk back, drop kick him. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. That's not going to be a good relationship. A good relationship involves great communication. If you're going to have a great relationship with God, there has to be communication both ways. It can't just be reading your Bible. It can't just be listening. It needs to be prayer the other way as well, spending time with each other. Same thing with my grass. No, I don't talk to it. It's not a communication thing. But like, me and my grass, we have a relationship, as weird as that sounds. We have to have a relationship and spend time with each other. Otherwise, there's going to be some problems there. So, number three, God wants us sanctified. He wants us becoming more like Christ. How does that happen? I spend time with Christ. There's that communication, that relationship that grows over time. So how are you doing with your relationship with Christ? It's not just about following rules. It's not just about going to church. It's not just about hearing God's word preached. There has to be a relationship. He wants us sanctified. And right now you're thinking, well, okay, I got those big things. I've been learning about those things. I come to church. I listen about those things about Sunday school. But what does God say about the day-to-day stuff? Where am I supposed to go to college? Are you going to tell me here? I'm looking for this on a slide. I'm looking for this slide to pop up on the screen. Okay, how funny would that be if I put Bob Jones University? No, okay, right? I don't have that up there though. Okay, so what college am I supposed to go to? What am I supposed to major in? And then who am I supposed to marry? And then what job am I supposed to take? What state am I supposed to move to? Again, some of you, you're like, oh, my heart is starting to pound faster and faster. That's very, very, very intimidating. Stop asking me all these questions. Turn to Psalm 37:23. Psalm 37:23. This is a familiar verse, but one that should mean something a little bit different. Now that you're older, now that we've looked at those last few slides here, Psalm 37:23. Probably once you see this, some of you would be able to just quote it from memory. If you want to quote it from memory, that's fine. But somebody want to read that for us or quote it from memory? Okay, yeah, go ahead. Okay, you know a song about this. We won't sing the song, but I want to zero in on there on good man. Good person, individual, okay? All right, but who is the good man? If I were to ask you, who is the good man? The good man or the good woman is the person who's saved, the person who is filled with the Spirit, and the person who is walking with the Lord, becoming more like him every day. Those three things that we just talked about. And then my question to you is, what is the promise that's made to the good man? What's the promise there that's made in your verse? What's the promise? Yeah?
The Lord will delight in him.
Right. The Lord will delight in him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in him. He delights in him, and the practical, the phrase before that in, steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God will order your steps. He will tell you what you're supposed to do next. He will tell you what college to go to. He will show you who to marry. He will show you which job to take. Those are the things that he's ordered. Now, I want you to think about this. It's been a while since you've experienced this. I'm pretty sure, because most of you do this pretty well right now. Not that I've watched recently, but it's been a while since you learned to walk, right? Okay. Anybody, you just tripped? That's part of being a teenager, by the way. Like, your feet get too big. You don't really know where things are. Okay, none of you are like this, but I've got some that I know of. Like, they're like baby giraffes. They're just like, rah, rah. They don't know where their arms and their legs are. I've got a kid on my basketball team. Not kidding. Got a kid on my basketball team. He's literally 7 foot and still growing. He was 6'11 when he came to school this last year. Now he already grew. He's already to 7 foot, and I think he might grow an inch or two more. But when I first met him, he was like 6'8 in like 9th and 10th grade. Looked like a baby giraffe, just like all arms are all over the place, whatever, okay? All right, think back to that time. I know it's been a while, but think back to that time, or watch the little kids, like watch either of my kids, the small ones, the girls. Blythe does fine with this, Elin's terrible at it. But you watch any of those kids, what are they concerned with when they're walking? No, they're not concerned with nothing entirely. Like when they're first starting, they're like, not like mom and dad are holding their hand and helping them with every step like I do with Elin, but like they're starting to like go out on their own. What are they concerned with? What's the only thing they care about?
My toy.
Okay, they care about my toy. I'm talking about walking, Ruth. Okay, falling. They think about falling, and to prevent the falling, they have to think about the? The next step, right? The next step. Do any of you think about the next step you're taking? Nobody does. Maybe come up the stairs. I know. Yeah. Whatever. So there's toys all over the ground. You might be thinking about that. But like I know Philip. He likes to race. He runs. Whatever. Like, what is Philip thinking about when he's in that race?
Pumping harder.
Okay, pumping harder. And really, probably you're thinking about the finish line, right? Like, I'm gonna get as fast as I can to that finish line. That's what I'm thinking about. Here's my point with this. I think God wants us to be more like the little kid that's thinking about the next step than we are about the finish line. Okay? Here's the illustration. Here's the point, the application. So everybody listen to me. When you ask, where am I supposed to go to college? Who am I supposed to marry? You're thinking about this thing that's out there. Now, if you have to declare your major tomorrow on the sheet, then yes, that's the next step. But I'm talking about when somebody comes and asks you, this is why I hate this question, for people your age and little kids, when we come to you and adults and they have great intentions, and don't be disrespectful to them when, you know, like you say, Mr. Tony told me to tell you that was a stupid question. Like, don't say that to them. But when they say to you, what do you want to be when you grow up? They're asking you to think about the finish line. And it is good for you to plan and to think about out there. That's not a bad thing. But what does this verse say? The steps of a good man, the next one, are ordered by the Lord. So my point is this. Sorry about that. My point is this, okay? I'm going to just give you me as an example of this. But you can go and ask your parents or somebody that's older, go do this today. Be like, dad or mom or whoever, how did you know what college to go to? How did you know what job to take? How did you know who to marry? Looking even back at like my life, it has been cool. If I were to give you like my like full testimony of like how I got to where I'm standing, literally standing right here, it was about like the next thing. Like, do the next thing. And the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. So for some of you, like, where am I supposed to go to college? Is anybody here a senior in high school? Okay, nobody's a senior in high school, right? Don't worry about that right now. Like, you can start thinking about it. Like, you need to maybe take some visits to go to school. Is anybody even 11th grader? Yeah. 10th grader? 9th? 9th, okay, I got 9th. You still got 3 years, right? Don't worry about that right now. Do the next thing that God tells you to do. Tomorrow morning, the next thing is going to be? Get up and go to school. Yeah, you're thinking already about the food. Yeah, okay, food. Someone will be like, yeah, I got big decision, Mark. You know, if you could pray for me, can we take a break here real quick? I got either Captain Crunch or Cinnamon Toast in there, and I just don't really know what I'm supposed to do here. Like, okay, like, great. You're thinking about the next step. Just take the next step and be faithful in the next step. Think about the three things that we just talked about. What does God want for you? You to be saved, right? Most of you got that taken care of. Be a witness and a testimony to other people. That was the other part of that. Second one there, be filled with the Spirit. How well are you doing filled with the Spirit? Are you having your devotions each day? Are you spending time with God? Are you praying to Him each day? Talking back and forth, right? Building that relationship. That's not a big event. I know we make these like, all right, I'm going to have this. I hate to tell you this. I'm going to burst some of your bubbles right now. You're probably going to make like 3, maybe 4 life-altering big decisions in your life, and that's it. It's kind of a letdown, isn't it? You're like, but the shoes that I picked out are really awesome today. Like, that's not a big decision, okay? Like, you're going to make like 3 or 4, and that's it. But the thing is about your life is made up of like 10,000 little decisions. Like, should I waste time playing this video game? Or I haven't had my devotions yet. I should probably do this. Should I go play outside? Or should I stay and help my mom and that helps build some character in me and blah, 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 blah. Should I? Like, these are little decisions about living a spirit-filled life. And then the last one there, are you becoming more like Christ each day? Like, nah, I'll get to that later. I want to have fun right now. Like, yes, God wants you to have fun right now, but that should not be the priority. It should be, am I becoming more like Christ? Like, even when I'm coming to church, what are you coming to church for? Are you just coming to, like, hang out and have fun with your friends? Like, great, you get to hang out and see your friends. But are you taking that we've had, what, 25 minutes? 35 minutes, something like that, about hearing about God's word. And you guys have done a great job listening to me. Are you going to remember the things that we talked about and use that to change how you think about things, how you think about the future, how you think about the actions that you're going to take this afternoon? It's little decisions that are building and turning you into who you are. It's not going to be a big decision. Yes. Will college be a big decision? Yes, absolutely. Will who you marry? Yes, absolutely. Be careful about that one, by the way. Okay? Just because she's pretty or he's cute. Bad, bad, bad decision. Okay? If that's what it's all based off of. But like, these big decisions will come and God will show you, I promise you, God will show you what those things are supposed to be if you're walking with him each day. If you are the good man, the steps every single day, God will direct you and show you what those big questions, those big answers are to those big questions. But are you being faithful in the little things each day in following God's will? And when I go back to the beginning and say now to you, what do you want to be when you grow up? That shouldn't be that intimidating. Like, well, God's told me to do these 3 things right now. And when I need to make that big decision, God will show me what it needs to. And I know, just believe me on this. People are like, but the Bible doesn't tell me who I'm supposed to marry. And like, you're looking for the verse. And there's this one verse that says, Mark, the perfect man. And you're like, Mark, where is he? I don't know Mark. Now I'm nervous. Right? Like, no, that's not how it's going to work. I promise you though, God will show you who you're supposed to marry. It will be clear. It'll be different for different people about like the circumstances and that kind of stuff. But like, he'll show you. College, he'll show you. Doors will be open. Things will be shown. And then when it comes time for that, it's, I'm going to make the decision that will honor God. And then that's it. I don't need to worry about it. Because then the decision is, oh my word, did I marry the wrong person? Oh my word, did I go to the wrong college? Oh my word, did I take the wrong job? Like, no. You'll be able to have that decision made and be content with it because you will have been walking with God and doing those things that we just talked about here. Okay? So, God's will for your life. What do you want to be when you grow up? You don't need to know right now. But be faithful each day in those little decisions that make up the big part of your life. And then when the big questions come, you'll have the answers because God will show you. All right, let's pray. Lord, I do ask that you would direct each one of these young people that's in here and thank you for them, for their families that they come from. I ask that you would help them to have the right priorities in life and to understand that following you is not just a good thing, but is the best thing for their life. And that you will give them a full life and a great life, Lord. And I ask that you would please use them all to do some great things for you. In your name we pray. Amen.